starting the third hour of the War Room. My guest is Kelsey Sharon. We're going to finish up here talking about this horrible mass shooting that happened up in the north of British Columbia and how they're going to start blaming, well, they're going to blame guns and they're going to blame mushrooms and DMT, it looks like. Also, the young man who did this said, I smoke a decent bit of weed. So I imagine doing all that stuff plus the SSRIs, sertraline, 280 milligrams of that, and on rare occasion, 2 milligrams of risperidone, among other things, fluoxetine, which that's interesting. I think that was a cure for COVID as well. So all kind of weird stuff going on in this kid to create this, a little cocktail to create a little monster. Kelsey, what do you think the first steps of when does the rest of the gun confiscations happen after this?
Well, I mean, we've already been on the path, right? You've seen now, if you've paid attention to Canadian media at all, you've seen that the Liberals have been trying to take the guns from us for a significant amount of time. I mean, since the moment Trudeau came in, he said, you know, guns are bad and, you know, guns cause problems. Well, what causes problems is unchecked, unfettered immigration and access to weapons with people who do not have licenses like PALs through people like Silvercore. You know, this is what happens when you give individuals access who are mentally ill, who, by the way, he lived up north. So the thing about living up north, like I said before the break, was he lived up near an area where there was a lot of animals, a lot of hunting. So it's not a surprise that guns were there. They're going to try to take them. They're going to use this as an opportunity. And like I said, that was the first time I've ever seen Mark Carney feel anything. Now, Mark has his own child with similar mental illnesses. And so I don't see this being addressed properly at any point. Even the RCMP continue to call him a girl, which we know is not true. So I think next steps is you will see them push hard with the gun buyback program, and they're going to start forcing this very quickly. So, you know, guns are going to go missing off the boat, but they will utilize this as a way to take over what's already the very, very few freedoms we have left in this country. And for this community is going to be mourning a very long time. Small community, 2,500 people. I pray for those that are still surviving. We have the young girl, I believe her name is Maya, in Vancouver Children's Hospital right now, fighting for her life. Again, no fault of her own, going to school one day just to be shot by somebody who was very mentally ill. So I am optimistic that this community will heal. It will take time because we have never seen anything like this. If I'm not mistaken, this is one of the largest shootings we've ever had in Canadian history. And so don't get it twisted. The Liberals will utilize this as some way to take any and the rest of what is barely left our gun rights away from us.
Yeah, it's a shame because that's the first thing they do in these situations, and they never look at the trend. What is the trend line? The last few mass shootings have happened with transgenders. Guys, put the call-in number up. We're going to go to the next segment. I don't have a guest, but I do want to get people's opinions on this. Throw in that call-in number. It's 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Give us a call. I'm going to have about a 30-minute segment where I'll let people break in on any of the stuff we've been talking about. We've kind of covered the gamut of topics today. But this here is really a situation. Where can people call and what can people do if they're feeling like this gender dysphoric thing? I mean, what are there any resources out there for people to, like, kind of, hey, it's just puberty. It's not, you know, you're not depressed. You're just going through changes in your body.
Well, if you're in Canada, most psychiatrists, they're not allowed to say anything other than affirm it, or you'll lose your medical license. You've heard Dr. Jordan Peterson speak about this before. You will get called on. You will be reported on. So I just highly suggest if your child is bringing this up and your child is going through this, don't sit there and affirm them. Ask them, what happened? What have you been watching? Who are you around? What are you ingesting? And what are your friends saying? And try to remind them that they were born in the right body. They've never been born in a wrong body. And I always just suggest, I'm a mental health expert. I do this work. I always say, if you're struggling, go to KelseySharon.com. I will help as many people as I can through things like this, because this is a small community who's never experienced it. So we do our best to help where we can, but it's not going to be through our healthcare system.
Right. And we can follow you on X at Kelsey Burns, KelsiBurns, and on Substack at Kelsey Sharon. And then you have KelseySharon.com where people can get more information on that. Thank you for coming on. It was kind of short notice today, but I mean, this is really a topic I think you were definitely made to talk about. You did a bang up job, and I'm sure we'll have more coming as this case progresses.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Alex, I just wanted to take time out of my supervillain day to say happy birthday. Let's double up on the chemtrails today. Happy birthday, Alex. Hope it's a good one. Happy 52nd birthday, Big Al. Let the good times roll, baby. Hey, Alex, it's your old pal Larry Fink here at BlackRock. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Alex, from your old pal Dr. Fauci. Here's to another great year.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for the birthday wishes today. I really feel special, and I'll continue to fight the info war.
All right, that was at Wars of the Info on X. Sent that to me today. And, you know, we don't do much to celebrate Alex's birthday. He doesn't really like it, but there's the video right there. And you can find that. He's probably got it posted on his X at Wars of the Info. And before we go to your calls, I just want to remind people, I haven't even plugged this whole show yet. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com, we do have right now our 50% off special. There's 50% off all supplement subscriptions. So, I mean, that's methylene blue, methylene red, colostrum. I bet war. I don't know if war cries on, because I don't know how much you get that in a subscription. But I just took a big whiff of the war cry the last segment, and it was boom, woke me up, getting back going. But we have guys, pull up some of the other. I do take methylene blue in the capsule form. We got Mind Fuel. Go to the store, though. Just go to the products in the store, and I'll just read them off for people. Yes, I know. I've already covered those. Methylene Blue, Colostrum, Methylene Red. And Methylene Red's exclusive to us. Yeah, Ultimate Life Force, Ultimate Sea Moss, Shilajit. We do have the Modern World Survival Pack, which gives you all three of those. We have the Blue Tallow mixed with Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. We have the sea moss gummies, the creatine powder, which is amazing. My son loves the creatine powder. It doesn't even taste. It's just there, and it gives him that boost, especially in the mental capacity. DNA Revival, the Power Plant and Methyl Drive, the Shilajit gummies, MK Ultra, which is really good, the magnesium with the vitamin K, Atomic Defense, and the Tallow Bomb. All that can be found at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and we have two bundles, the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle and the Modern World Survival Stack. The Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle comes with bovine colostrum, methylene blue, and methylene red tinctures. And then the Modern World Survival Stack, Shilajit Complex, sea moss capsules, and Atomic Defense. All available 50% off on those two bundles, and plus 50% off all subscriptions. So if you want to support us monthly, that's a good way to do it with a subscription. You can just pay as you go, and you don't have to think about it. Boom, suddenly your vitamins come in. You get charged once a month, and they're there. And then you could just take them, and also know you're supporting the InfoWar, because everything you do supports us at thealexjonesstore.com. Those are the Bigley boys up in Fayetteville, Arkansas, doing their best to keep the products in stock, ready to ship. And they do a great job. So check them out at thealexjonesstore.com and save some money, get healthy, and support the InfoWar. All three things can be done at once. It's what we call a 360 win. All right, let's go to Bart in Georgia. Wants to talk about the shooting. Put the phone number back up, guys. We'll get a few more calls in before we get to this. But Bart, how's it going today?
It's going great. Thank you for taking my call. Canada doesn't have a gun problem. They have a social problem. Number one, The families have been broken up. There's probably no father in that family. I don't even have to check. I guarantee you there's no father there. But we have a transvestite problem with all the propaganda going out. They're going to use this to try to take away the guns, but we can't. Hopefully they can stop that. But we have a transvestite and a social problem, not a gun problem. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that came up during the 2020 lockdowns. People were locked down in their homes. They were watching social media nonstop because that's really all there was to do. It was, you know, escape from reality. And so kids are coming of age and they're seeing all this, oh, you're born in the wrong body. You don't feel good. It must be this. You have gender dysphoria. Then you had the peer pressure. I've heard stories all over Austin of, especially not in the lower income districts, but the higher up, the high income districts over in the hoity-toity areas. These kids, they think it's trendy to change their sex. They think that you can just switch it on and off like a light, and they were peer pressuring other kids. Oh, are you trans? Are you gay? Are you queer? And getting them into that mindset. And it's pretty disgusting what happened over that lockdown. But that was definitely, you saw the uptick in that. Now you see the uptick in mass shootings. Here's just a graph. Here's trans, non-binary, all. And you can see the rates, Asian, Black, White, Hispanic, Native American. Mass shooting rates by demographic. There it is. And that's rates by the demographic group. All right, let's go to Tim in Seattle. Tim, go ahead. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. As much as we're in behind the eight ball as far as they're taking away our rights, I think it's time to start doubling and tripling down. And we should just, like, Canadians, you, the people in UK, they should just demand their gun rights to be completely restored.
Yeah.
They should flip the script and just demand a full restoration of all of their gun rights and not even blink in the entire time. And maybe it'll happen. I mean, because ultimately, you know, we are ruled by pedophiles. So, I mean, let's just stop playing games. Like, let's get our guns back. Let's start making all sides come to the table.
Like, yeah, they have to be accountability. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's not everybody else in Canada's fault that this kid got a gun and was being told, you know, you're in the wrong body. And, you know, who knows who gave him those thoughts of going out and doing a mass shooting. I don't know how those thoughts get into kids' heads, but, you know, when you're messing with your brain and knocking the crap out of it with SSRIs and other drugs, who knows what can happen? I mean, when you're doing that, stuff is going to change. And the CIA knows this. That's how they used mind control against people, by messing with people's heads and breaking them down and putting suggestions in. So who knows? Maybe this kid had a handler. We don't know. It could have been a psychologist. We don't know any of that at this point, but these are the questions that need to be asked. It's not, oh, we have guns, and so that's why this happened. There's a lot of other, and maybe there's enough outcry out there from people to break through that Overton window. What do you think about that, Tim? You think that could happen?
If there's enough serious people, yeah, the Overton window is ours, and we just have to, you know, be serious. I mean, God gave us a voice to fight evil, and the only reason why they try to silence us is because they fear our voices.
Right.
That's just the simple calculus of this all. Elon Musk could do this. I mean, I don't think it's illegal to do it in the UK. I mean, he could literally start running guns legally, of course, up into those nations, and you know, come what may, you know, let us have justice. At least let us be armed to defend ourselves. Because
when seconds count, cops are minutes away, as the old saying goes. And if any of those teachers had been armed, maybe they could have stopped this. I mean, I'm sure we'll get the horrible details of how they were all huddled in classrooms just waiting to be shot because nobody was armed. And then you have counties in Texas where, you know, most of the teachers are armed. And unfortunately, you didn't have that in Uvalde because they could have stopped that mass shooter. And what did the cops do? What did the cops do when that was going on? They were putting gel on their hands to kill all the microbes and just sitting back and waiting for that monster to finish his work before they went in and stopped him.
It's pretty standard. They don't try to save children at all. They just try to use the deaths of children against us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty standard.
The more deaths to them, the more deaths, the better. And so that's how they take these. They never let a good tragedy go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel said. All right, thanks for calling, Tim. Let's go to Godzilla in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Godzilla. How you doing?
Well, and yourself, Mr. Dew?
I'm doing great.
Doing great, yeah. It's kind of like Alex Jones' birthday. We got all the conspiracy theories that ever were proven true with these Epstein files. And I thought that, like, you know, the Epstein stuff talks a lot of also about the trans and shooters making...
They talked about turning that into a movement. That was one in some of the emails. How can we turn this trans thing into a trend? And that was years ago. It was, you know, before even the lockdowns, they were already talking about doing that.
And using a combination of messing with people's sexuality, sexual lifestyle, and drugs to, like, manipulate their minds as, like, mind control. Like, we've all seen, like, what guys and people will do for romance, you know, with Valentine's Day coming up and all. But also with Epstein, I was wondering, you showed the Zorro Ranch video.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, in that video, if you look right next to the ranch, the drone video, there's, like, this huge bunker entrance. Did you see this, Rob?
You know,
I was just, like, wondering,
guys, pull,
like,
up that,
like,
Zorro Ranch footage, see if we can find it. And I wouldn't be surprised that there's a bunker underneath Zorro Ranch. You know, he bought that in the 90s, so he had plenty of time to make that. In fact, if you watch the Steve Bannon interview, he talks a lot about the Santa Fe Institute. That was, like, the kind of nonprofit arm he created to bring scientists together, but that was really to, you know, part of his program to seed the world and possibly create some sort of conveyor belt system where they were creating, having people have kids that then they could, you know, reduce down to nothing and then inject into their veins, like what we saw with Peter Nygaard. He's one of those people who was into that. But yeah, go ahead. I'll see if these guys can find the video, but go ahead, Godzilla.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and they were, like, saying how they were trying to make, like, in the releases, the Epstein releases, they were trying to make, like, sex concubines without limbs that they couldn't fight or without brain stems.
Jeez.
You know, and, like, all these, like, weird Frankenstein Island of Dr. Monroe creatures, you know, and talks about clones and blood boys and stuff and, you know, the Ubermensch and super soldier stuff, you know, and I think that's tied in kind of like are they testing on the population here on how to make people go out of, you know, lose their minds, like you see with this Canadian shooter or all these other shooters with this different cocktail and feeding them media and this narrative. And it just makes me think that, like, you know, Satan and satanic groups have run amok, like you've seen with Epstein, and Trump needs to do, like, what Putin did and just ban the satanic church outright, you know, and start clamping down on it like a hate group, a violent group, you know.
Hey, I think I saw the entrance to the bunker that you were talking about. It's on the road going to the ranch. It's off to the right.
Slit.
What's that?
It's a giant slit
into
the side. And it's like, if you have that type of power, you know, like, obviously it's more than just sex trafficking. You don't need a bunker entrance the size of a jet airplane, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on under there? And more importantly, why haven't the feds, like, gone in there and be like, hey, guys, this is what we found? I mean, it could be bigger than finding Osama bin Laden.
Well, it's because they're implicated in this. This stuff doesn't just happen on its own. He's an intelligence asset, and this is part of an operation. They're like, hey, go ahead and do your thing. We don't care if you diddle kids and mess with young girls and sex traffic them. We're going to let that slide because, you know, that's the way we roll, as long as you're working for us. Thanks for the call, Godzilla. Let's go to Brendan in Georgia. Go ahead, Brendan.
Rob Dew, thank you, brother.
Yep.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
And God bless the InfoWar and all the InfoWarriors. I'm a combat Air Force veteran, Gulf War, and I'm disgusted with what is going on in our country. This is disgusting, Rob. It's disgusting. Why are we putting up with this, people? Why are we putting up with this?
We haven't hit the pedo tolerance level yet.
This is disgusting, Rob. It's disgusting.
I know. You should be disgusted.
The people.
That's a normal reaction.
Of the United States.
Yeah.
In order to form a more perfect, sure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. To ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Where are you, Trump?
Where are you, people?
I think it's safe to say he's captured.
Are you willing to lay it all on the line for freedom and for tranquility and for liberty? No, I think we got a bunch of domesticated, docile imbeciles, Rob Dew.
Sure.
Docile imbeciles.
No, we have to break through that Overton window. We have to break through with more bringing all this stuff out. You're going to see more. See, this is the thing. Now we've gone through, and you see the searches for Epstein are higher than ever. So now other people who are in these positions, who are like underlings and Renfields of this system, some of them are going to start leaking information or putting information out and becoming whistleblowers. And it's going to grow. It's just going to keep growing and growing. It's not going to be like they can't put the genie back in the bottle. Too many people know about it. My in-laws know about it. They knew about the jerky emails, okay? And they're like Fox Republican news watchers, and they already knew about this stuff. It's going out there. It's going nuclear. All we need to do is keep the pressure on and not stop. Every day you got to do a little bit to carry the ball. And other people are going to take that ball, and we're not going to stop. So I hope you're not stopping, Brendan. I hope you're going to keep warning people.
Yes, Rob Dew, you're the man. And InfoWars is I have been an info warrior for 30 years. Yeah. And my life, I'm 51 years old. I'm 10 months younger than Alex, and his birthday is this month. I'm 10 months. Alex is younger. And I found all these people 30 years ago. Alex Jones, G. Edward Griffin, all these people. Catherine Austin Fitt,
mm-hmm.
All these people. I've learned what the real scoop is. I've listened to these people, and all these people out here are probably similar to me. I'm 51 years old. My last 30 years has been changed because of Alex Jones and Catherine Austin Fitz and G. Edward Griffin. All of these people have educated me.
And that's what it takes. It takes people educating other people.
I went to college, Rob Dew, back in my 30s. I went back to college, and I didn't even graduate because they were just teaching us how to be good communists, Rob Dew.
How to
be good communists. And I was there. I was watching these young people get marching for Bernie Sanders in Boise, Idaho, downtown Boise, Idaho, sir. Mm-hmm. Marching for Bernie Sanders and these effing idiots. These effing idiots, Rob, these uneducated plebs.
Yep.
You people are morons. You need to wake up, America. This is from a combat Air Force veteran. You need to wake your ass up and educate yourself and take responsibility
for
yourself and your country.
And approach the moron with an open hand, not a closed fist, because we also need to grab the moron and explain to him what's going on. Because once the moron even understands what's going on, the moron will join your side, because these people, most of these people aren't pedophiles out there. They may have different value sets, but at the end of the day, they care about children and they don't want to see children suffer. I firmly believe that. Let's go to Climb BNX in Vancouver. Go ahead. Let's talk about the health regulations with HIP HPOA. I'm not sure what that is. I almost said HIPAA, but go ahead, Climb BMX.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's I'm in Vancouver Island here, and it's provincially, it's the HPOA, which is acronym for Health Professionals and the Ministry of Health may unilaterally set or change practice standards. Section 533, the government may adopt external laws or standards without debate. And this is coming from a naturopathic surgeon, the highly accredited Dr. Christoph Kind in Courtney. He's incorporated, and it is... He's given up. He's throwing in the towel, and the regulations here are so terrible that he's given up his practice. It's that bad.
Yeah, people are getting mired in this stuff. All the regulations, everything else, they're just kind of... I can see why people are giving up, because they look at the old system and they're like, wow, I used to be able to have my own thoughts and do everything. Now everything's dictated from above. And that's how centralization works. They don't want you to be an individual thinker. Thanks for the call. I'm going to try to get through a couple more of these. I had to cut you off a little bit, but let's go to Michael in Ohio. I'll give you 45 seconds. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Rob. How are we doing today?
All right.
I just want to wish Alex I want to wish Alex a happy birthday. You're killing it out here. You always do. I love listening to you. But I have to agree with the caller earlier. It was the interview that you had, actually, with a gentleman talking about constitutional rights. And we're in a corporate America, man. We need to bring back the Constitution. And it does start with the counties and then eventually the states and then eventually the whole country. So I hope people find his website. I hope you share it on X. I was recently blocked on X for asking if we should try Pam Bondi for treason. And hanger. Evidently, that goes against hate speech standards. But and then real quick, you know, I seen Alex say something about on that video at the beginning of your show how the cost of energy was down. And man, I don't know about anybody else, but I really don't see that. I have an electric bill coming due in just a few days, $760. My wife seen one of her patients had a bill for like $2,200 for electric in 1 month on their counter. So
it is going up, and it's definitely going up in some areas. People are getting a sticker shock, and Virginia, I think, just reenacted some taxes to raise people's electric bills up. And that's how all going to be under the guise of these data centers, because they use a lot of electricity and a lot of water. So they're going to be going after. So you need to hold these people accountable when they try to come into your community, and don't just let them come in and run roughshod. It does provide jobs, but at what expense? You know, if you can't afford to pay the electric bill, you know, what good are you? All right, let's go to Don in Oklahoma. I want to know if there's any survivors of the shooting. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, I heard here, I think it was on your show, that this guy was on SSRIs.
Yeah.
Okay, so a list of those drugs, one of them prominent is Prozac. I believe it's over 50% sodium fluoride.
Yeah.
They formerly used that for rat poison over 100 years ago.
Right.
And they'll breathe into trouble today. But anyway, and that's why they put it in our water. It's a neurotoxin, and they love us.
Yeah, and it also gives us bone cancer.
Oh, yeah. But so that's what when Jones was on, who's that Pez head, the CNN guy from Britain.
Yeah, Piers Morgan. Yeah, mass murder suicide
Piers
pills.
Morgan.
He was on 280 milligrams of sertraline and also taking... what else? Fluoxetine, 50 milligrams of that, so SSRI, and quinapine, unsure of the dosage. So you can see all that in there. I got only 30 seconds to the end of this. You know, maybe I'll get to the other two callers in the next segment. I do have a guest, so I don't think I'm going to be able to go to you, but hang tight, and it's possible. But my guest coming up next, Chris Hyde, is a survivalist, and we're going to talk about how do you survive in a situation where the Insurrection Act or martial law is declared in your city, say there's rioting going on. We're going to talk about that. And, you know, if you have to flee the city, what do you do? So we'll be right back coming up with the last segment of today's edition of The War Room. It's February 11th, 2026.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts and have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexshowstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum that's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind-the-scenes attacking them. They're big boys, too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But, I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right-hand corner, VIP Club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month, you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money. Disheveled communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless, other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexshowstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP. 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 And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. It's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexshowstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the final segment of the War Room, 24 minutes and 13 seconds left in today's broadcast day here at the InfoWars Studios. Alex's 52nd birthday as well, and no text from him all day, so he must be having a good time. I wish him the best. My final guest for the afternoon is Chris Hyde. He's a survival skills instructor and organizer of the Sky Earth Gathering that takes place in April in Graham, Texas. He teaches in-person classes all about developing awareness for self-reliance in the woods or in the urban jungle of major cities. So I want to bring him up now. He's got a survival camp that he sets up. So there it is. I guess registration opens for his Sky Earth Gathering. Let's bring on Chris Hyde. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. So let's get into it. Here's the scenario. Here's a scenario. You're in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's gone to complete hell. The riots are 10 times worse than they were in 2020. ICE agents are fragmented parts of the city doing their raids to get people, to get the criminals out because they're not being helped by the local PD. And then Trump declares the Insurrection Act for that area. which would, I think, inform or create some sort of martial law scenario in that area. What do people do who are law-abiding citizens who don't want to get involved? How do they survive a situation like this?
Well, if you're in your home, chances are you've got resources available there. If you're being forced out of your home from some other situation, both of those are two different situations. So I would, first of all, say if you're in an area where you've got resources, stay there. If for whatever reason those resources are starting to dwindle and security becomes, you know, no longer viable, you know, you've got no more security, then you've got to go. But ultimately, I think people need to just take their situational awareness very seriously. As we, most of us know, we've got to start there, and we've got to have great attitudes about this stuff. Meaning, if you're just, hey, I'm doom and glooming this, there's nothing I can do, then you've already self-defeated yourself. So coming up with a good plan of action with your family, with your loved ones, whoever's near in your neighborhood as well, too. You know, hey, if our neighborhood goes on lockdown, or hey, if, you know, God forbid these individuals come into our neighborhood causing all kinds of ruckus, then what is our plan of action together? Because ultimately you will be better with your neighbors and everybody else than just by yourself trying to bug out. But it's so important to take note of what are your needs. And if you kind of think about the basics of fundamentals of survival, you know, you've got to have clothes, oxygen, sleep, you know, water, food. And how do you meet those needs once this catastrophic event is kicked off? So that's where a lot of the folks are turning to, you know, resources such as the survival packs and all of that. But knowing how to use that stuff is just as important as having it on hand. So that's basically where I'll say is for folks to start is get to know what are your needs, get to know a plan, and start packing gear according to that plan that's small and multi-purpose.
So I guess what you're talking about is two situations. One where you would stay and kind of, you know, hole up essentially, hole until whatever passes, which, you know, could be a week, could be a month, could be six months. I doubt it'll be, if anything breaks out, I don't think it'll take long to restore order unless it's widespread nationwide, but which then it could get really crazy. But if you do have to flee, I guess you need a checklist of things. You need to keep your car filled up. You need to have extra gas. There's all kinds of, you know, firearms. There's all kinds of things you're going to need to protect yourself. But, you know, you don't want to go out like you're Mad Max, you know, with armaments and stuff out there trying to lay waste to the wasteland. But I guess what are some of the things people should look for? Like what, in terms of getting your neighbors, how do you approach your neighbors with stuff with these types of topics? Because a lot of people might laugh you off, but you know, hey, what if this happens? What are we going to do? Like how would you approach your neighbors with this type of subject matter?
One of the things I would do is go across the street and, you know, or to the next door, wherever, first of all, across the street, because if something's happening and you are, you know, have firearms in your house and you're now firing outside towards the street, who's across from you? You know, so there could be that would be my first question to my across the street neighbor is, hey, things get crazy around here and shots start going off or ringing out. Do you want to come over here? Do you want me to go over there? Because we don't want to be doing the crossfire thing. That could be a nice, funny way to introduce all this. But in seriousness, you just want to get to know them. You know, you want to get to know the same things that you need, right? Which is, what are those needs? Again, going back to water, shelter, all that. And then how can what you know in your skill sets compound with what they know and what resources they have? And it's really a get together and take control of the situation to keep these people out. Hey, I have firearms. Hey, I have spotlights. Hey, I have alarms. Hey, I've got cameras. Hey, I've got, you know, the fuel generators should they, you know, power go out. It's all of those collective things that I really think people should get together on first, because ultimately that's what unites us, is the eternal truths of life. Like I said, these food, oxygen, water, there's no arguing about those things. We all need them. And I think for a lot of the people to go over to your neighbors is, again, maybe a challenge because we're just so digitized, but it's not hard to knock on your neighbor's door and introduce yourself. It really isn't. I know all my neighbors around here. And the big thing to me is to ask questions first. So, you know, what Are your travel advisories, for instance, are there any? Are there restrictions to getting out of your neighborhood? Are there backup routes? Have you thought about backup routes? Are there opportunities for you to make your own route? Could you cut through and meet up with some friends two neighborhoods over who don't have closures on their streets? These are all just ideas and questions that you should theoretically ask yourself and then hopefully advise, you know, or come up with a game plan that you could then advise to your surrounding neighbors and your family. But, you know, how reliable are the resources going to be in your neighborhood once all this stuff goes on? So to me, it's about asking these questions and then coming up with really simple solutions to them. And that kind of satiates the fears and the unknown variables, because really that's what it is, right? The variables equal the unknown equals the fear. And the easiest and cheapest way to reduce those variables in your life is to keep things simple and to plan for those common variables.
Now, if you were trying to filter water, say you have, you know, a water source and you want to filter water, is it better to filter swimming pool water or filter like a bathtub full of water? What do you think is the going to be the easiest to clean out of those two?
Well, if you've got chlorine in your water, you're going to need to do some type of distillation to remove that chemical, because boiling water, treating it with iodine or potentially more chlorine isn't going to make that water any more potable. So in that situation, you'd actually boil it and catch the condensed steam, and that's what you would be trying to consume. A bathtub full of water would be much better because there's no chemicals in there. The back of the sink is a great option. Anything that doesn't have the chemicals is going to be much easier. And, you know, during the ice storm of Austin, Texas, back in 2020, when that was going on, I was putting tarps on the sides of my house. So when the ice was starting to melt, I was just harvesting snow, melting that, pouring that into the back of the toilets. Anything that I could do to get water to keep the house going, I was trying to do. So play with that stuff. I will tell people, when this stuff happens in a kind of controlled situation, for instance, if the power goes out 1 or 2 days, this is your chance to prepare it, right? This is your chance to practice and play and kind of have fun. So don't look at these moments of, oh, I can't surf the internet, you know, I can't watch my shows. Take this time, take those opportunities to play around and have fun and see where are the gaps in your plan and in the infrastructure of your home, in the security of your home. What happened when all of that happened? You know, did your gas stove still work, or was something caused that to go out? What took place in your house? So notate all that. But as far as purifying water, it's not that big of a deal when you don't have chemicals to treat it. You just simply boil it for 1 minute and pour it back and forth to aerate it, get some of the air back in it, and then drink it.
Okay. Okay. You talk in some of the notes you sent me, you talk about become the gray man, G-R-A-Y. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So in there, it talks about situational awareness. And I mentioned that briefly already. That is the beginning of getting to know your surroundings, just keeping your head on a swivel, being an owl, eyes open, where are the exits when you walk into a place, you know, who's looking a little suspect. And you think about this thing, this understanding, this concept about what I call baseline. And let's say, for instance, in your house or in your studio there, if something were to suddenly slam down and break, you know, that would be way out of baseline. And so typically there's rhythms and things that take place around cities. And if suddenly there's police sirens or suddenly screaming, these are things that are out of baseline. And the gray man concept is basically just being in that baseline all the time, not wearing flashy things, not trying to attract attention to yourself. So if you're in this situation of bugging out, especially in an urban sprawl, you don't want to be running with 30 backpacks, you know, filled with all your gear through the city, because you're looking like a target now. You see what I mean? So you're keeping your gear minimal, you're keeping your clothes tight into your body. Whatever you're carrying on you that might be big and bulky is secured more to your person and not some big giant backpack. The gray man concept's talked about in a lot of different ways. You can look at Kevin Reeves on Point Tactical. Nate Summers' work around the scout craft is another wonderful example. But yeah, that's basically the gray man, just blending into that baseline of the city and the overall atmosphere wherever you're at.
Okay. And so you're in a situation, you've holed up for a couple of weeks, but now you're like, well, now we have to leave the house. There's stuff going down. There's too much. It's too dangerous. The neighborhoods are being burnt to the ground. We have to flee. What are, you know, people have bug out bags. They know what that concept is. But what are the things that you should, you know, what are some must-haves that you have to take with you when you do have to flee your house in one of those situations?
You know, you've got to think, again, what's energy? You know, do you have the means to charge equipment? Do you have maybe a little Wi-Fi hotspot in there? What are the travel plans? Do you have maps? Do you have potential backup routes for those? Are there, especially the, you know, tools, as far as tools go, you're definitely wanting something that can cut, right? So even when I say cutting, not just a knife, we're talking about potential pliers or bolt cutters, things that could potentially cut through a fence. You know, backup gasoline is obviously, hopefully, in the car, radio communications. You want to think about a lot of medical as well, potential injuries and risks, a really good stocked first aid kits. And knowing how to use all this stuff is just as important, again, like I said before, as having it. So multi-tools, anything that you can carry on, you know, what they call the EDC or the everyday carry, you know, if that's a firearm, if that's a knife, it could even be, and I keep binoculars in my truck all the time. I keep a spare kit, you know, for changing flat tires in my car all the time, you know, whether it's the spray that inflates it or the physical rubber things, all of those are just little tiny parts that you want to be thinking about. So if I were to boil it down to five things, you could say a cutting tool, some kind of cover, like a blanket, a cloth, a tarp. You would also need what is called bind craft, so duct tape. We're talking zip ties. We're looking for rope as well. And then obviously something to start a fire potentially as well. So that would be the energy factor and potentially drying out clothes, cooking, signaling, doing all of those things that fires can do. And then the last thing would be the navigational tools, as I said before, map, compass, getting those oriented and having that plan of, hey, we're bugging out and where are we meeting? Where's our go-to point? Because bugging out's great, but where to where? Where's the next home base? Because without that understanding, that's where the mind starts to go a little bit crazy, because now you don't have anywhere to go. You have no agenda. And we've all been there, I'm sure, if you're backpacking or camping or doing anything like that, even in a new city, trying to get your whereabouts without those, you know, metrics and that geospatial reference map of where to go, what is the agenda, we just start getting a little crazy. So planning it out accordingly.
And I think if you're going to be reading maps, you're going to need a Gen Xer, because I don't know if any of the generations after that know how to read maps even. I mean, when's the last time you opened a map?
A couple days ago, actually. Okay. I do a lot of map drawing and making with the kids. Our school year starts from September, goes till May, and the first couple of months they have to get familiar with their backyards, their whole house layout, because this is all awareness. And then we, you know, adapt those models to how do you create exit routes and, you know, what if this happens? And it's, to me, it's just about being prepared. It's not about doom and gloom. It's not about fear. It's just about being a better individual so that when you show up in anywhere you go, everybody feels a little bit safer that you're there. You know, everybody feels a little bit more confident that you're there because you have the wisdom and experience, the know-how to be that individual, to help others with the skills, the wisdom that you have.
So yeah, you're not a deficiency. You're an addition to the group. You're not a guy holding people back or a bowling ball. Yeah. Or right. A millstone tied around somebody's neck. You're there helping out. So you talked about training kids. So that's actually good, getting kids into reading maps and how to start fires and all that. What talk a little bit about your Sky Earth gathering and what that does and how those skills can be translated into, you know, everyday life, essentially.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm real big on getting people together over skills and building community around these skills. And my goal with Sky Earth is to get 100 or so folks together. And what we're going to do is bring a bunch of professional survival instructors out, and they're going to get to teach you all their favorite skills, whether that be from crafting your own bows and arrows and flint knapping. We're going to learn blacksmithing our own knives. We're going to do, you know, there's water purification and treatment. There's survival shelters out there. We basically do it all. And then we have a lot more to that is what we would call the homesteading aspect. So if you're into animal husbandry, if you're into starting a farm and learning how to, you know, become self-reliant in that way, We've got gentlemen out there who've literally taken government money and, you know, got 80 acres and all with government money to start a whole farm and are now running successful. And so we want to teach people and educate people out at Skyr how to become more self-reliant in all of these ways. And we do it by gathering together for a week. We camp out. We feed you dinner. There's bathrooms on site. There's a lot of cooking. There's a lot of ceremonies around the fire and storytelling. We do. We've got pretty much everything under the sun, from handgun and firearm training, because we've got a lot of land and big berms to shoot at, all the way again to kids camps. So if you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, if you want to come out and bring them out, we have a lot of fun there, running around, having adventures, teaching the kids about, again, wayfinding, how to do animal husbandry, take care of horses, and it's all there. So check it out. This is our ninth year doing it, and it's going to keep going and growing, and I'm really looking forward to this April. And hopefully, Rob, you can come out, and Betsy and everybody else can come too.
Yeah. I got a question about guns. You were talking about guns just now. So shotgun, rifle, pistol. If you only get one, what's your choice?
Where am I going? What am I doing? I got to know. Close quarters, I mean, you got to go shotgun. Long range, if I'm sitting prone, you know, I'm going rifle. You know, it's just an EDC, the everyday carry. I've got to have, you know, my 9mm. So it just all depends on the situation. If I can bring all three, great, right? Sure. But nobody wants to carry that kind of weight.
Right.
In this situation, probably just a handgun, because the other two are going to be avoiding you the ability to do that gray man thing, right? Running around with a big rifle, big shotgun, that's going to draw attention, you know, whereas the concealed carry permits and all that, that's much better situation for yourself and protection.
And, you know, I haven't looked at the gun laws lately. Did Trump sign something actually where if you have a concealed handgun permit in your state, you can carry concealed everywhere? Has that happened yet? I know there was talk of doing that. I don't know if that actually passed, but
I'm not sure. I think in Texas that's other than like federal court buildings and things like that, I think yes.
Yeah, well, in Texas definitely. And I know there's some reciprocal agreements with Texas and other states. So if you have one in Texas, I know there were certain states, and I thought Trump was going to make it universal carry. If you had a concealed carry permit in one state, that would be good in all the states, because there are the gun. Here it is. As of 2026, yeah, he continued to support nationwide concealed carry reciprocity. H.R. 38 S65 would allow gun owners with a valid permit from permitless states to carry concealed handguns across state lines. Supporters argue this protects Second Amendment rights, while opponents warn it undermines stricter state gun laws. Yeah, it definitely does. I don't necessarily know if you're safer with a stricter state gun law. It seems like that you become a victim disarmament zone. So say you're in a building and a shooter comes into the building and starts opening fire on people. What's your first, aside from getting out of there, but then you're trapped in this building. What do you do? What are some things people could do to, mitigate the damage?
Well, if you're inside of, let's say, a hotel room, if somebody's coming in with a gun and you're not armed, either you got a couple shot options. Obviously, you could barricade yourself. You could try potentially to get to higher floors. You could try to potentially get to lower floors and get out the emergency exits. But those are about it. Other than barricades, and you know what, would you attempt to tackle them through one of the hallways? I don't think so. So I would be looking for exits immediately. And if I'm on the highest floor, I would try to be getting to somewhere lower to get out of there. Or if not, if I don't feel that safe, then I'm barricading.
Yeah. And with barricade, you mean like sticking furniture in front of the door to keep the person from coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. We had a case, I guess, within the last 24 hours up in British Columbia, this kid who was transitioning or had already transitioned for many years and then was on all kinds of SSRIs and then started doing psychedelics and then, you know, takes a gun, kills his mom and his brother, and then goes to the local school who hadn't even been in this school and just starts, you know, killing kids. It's interesting, you know, how did, and it's just a question for you, how did the school become this thing where it became a place where people are like, that's where I can go inflict the most damage. I mean, obviously there's no guns at the school. It's a gun-free zone. But then where in that mindset did that happen? Because the school shooting really started happening, I guess, when I was a kid in school. They had the Columbine shooting, and then there was other shootings before that. But, you know, in the 50s and 60s, kids used to bring guns. In the 70s, kids used to bring guns to school, and you didn't see stuff like this. So what happened, I think, with our society and culture where this became a thing where I'm going to go shoot kids at school?
Well, at my school, the kids are required to bring knives, and we've never had a kid stab another child. So I would definitely say it's something to do with culture. You know, it's something that there's an old saying that says, a child who does not receive the warmth of the village will feel that warmth by burning it to the ground. And so I think that when we don't have opportunities for children to feel seen, valued, heard, loved, cherished, you know, as a part of the society that they're growing up in, then they will begin to internally, dwell, right? And then the old idle minds breeds insanity. And I think that they start unfortunately feeling that they're not a part of that. So if they don't want me, then, you know, it's that old adage of, if I can't have you, no one will, you know? So I think that's what's going on here. I think that children are unfortunately not having enough opportunities to feel that, you know, and the reason I say that is because of social media. You know, if you've got a phone in every child's hand and the whole goal is, how do I get the most likes? How do I get the most status, right? It's really a status game. And when you don't rise to the status, or if you don't find yourself viable to present yourself, to receive that recognition from the community, then, well, guess what? I'm going to receive it in a different way, right? I'm going to receive it in the way that I've seen others receive it, which is by becoming, unfortunately, a killer.
Yeah, and negative attention. So they're just looking for some sort of attention, and it can be positive or negative in the child's mind.
Absolutely.
Either way offers validation.
It's sad across the board, and you're absolutely right. I've never seen the amount of these school shootings until the whole Columbine thing kicked off. So.
Yeah, then became kind of in vogue. All right, Chris Hyde, thank you for joining me. You can find out more about your Sky Earth Gathering, your survivalist camp at skyearthgathering.org. Is that right?
Yes, coming. Yes. Yeah, skyearthgathering.org.com. Come join us this April. It's a week-long camp out from Sunday to Saturday. We'll feed you, and you'll learn some amazing skills, and we promise you, you'll want to come back year after year, because each year we offer new classes, new opportunities to connect with one another, and look for other gatherings around the country. If you're not in Texas, check
That's
out
right.
just primitive skills gatherings, and y'all have fun. Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Yep, God gave us hands to protect ourselves and provide for us, so use them.
That's
and
correct.
Use your brain.
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And thank you out there for watching us here on The War Room. And happy birthday, Alex Jones.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy. And he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.